This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Tuesday, July 10th, 2018. Coming up this hour.
President Trump moves to create the most conservative high court in generations.
I will nominate Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the United States Supreme Court.
In the UK, Prime Minister Theresa May survives to fight another day.
In Turkey, President Erdogan cements his control over the economy.
President Trump is heading to Brussels today for the start of the NATO summit. Plus, the final rescue of the five left in a cave in Thailand is underway. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschke. Coming up in sports, the Yankees and Mets split a doubleheader, and the World Cup is back on.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
U.S. futures and European stocks are higher this morning while the dollar strengthens at 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg, and we also are watching earnings. Crossing the Bloomberg now, PepsiCo reporting a second quarter core profit that beat analyst estimates. Revenue in the second quarter also beating. S&P futures up 4.5 points this morning. Dow futures up 57. NASDAQ futures up 21. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. So's the FTSE 100 and the CAC in Paris. Up 0.5%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.7%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong little changed. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.86%. Yield on the 2-year 2.56%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.7% or 52 cents to $74.38 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.5% on $6.30 at $12.53.40 an ounce. The euro $1.1718. The yen 111.25. Bomb.
We begin with President Trump's nominee to replace Justice Anthony Kennedy on the Supreme Court.
It is my honor and privilege to announce that I will nominate Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the United States Supreme Court.
This election, Brett Kavanaugh is a 53-year-old Washington insider and former aide to President George W. Bush.
With the announcement, President Trump could potentially create the most conservative high court in generations. We get more from Bloomberg Supreme Court reporter Greg Storr.
He has pretty consistently voted to strike down regulations when they're questionable. He has limited the EPA. He's limited the power of the director of the CFPB, letting the president fire the director for any reason, so consolidated presidential power. He has backed gun rights. He has suggested at least some sympathies with arguments against abortion.
The confirmation of Kavanaugh could shift the court to the right on gay rights, affirmative action, the death penalty, and gun restrictions.
But that confirmation by the Senate may not come easy. Bloomberg Sahil Kapoor reports from Capitol Hill.
It's likely to be a whale of a fight. I would keep my eyes on 5 or 6 senators, Susan Collins of Maine, Lisa Murkowski in Alaska. Then there are 3 red state Democrats who voted for Neil Gorsuch, which is President Trump's first nominee last year, Heidi Heitkamp, Joe Manchin, and Joe Donnelly. And then there is Doug Jones in Alabama, who was elected after Neil Gorsuch was confirmed to the Supreme Court, but is also a close one to watch. He's from Alabama, which is a deep red state that voted for Trump.
Democrats are vowing to block Kavanaugh, but are powerless to do so without at least one Republican defection. The GOP controls 51 seats in the Senate.
We move now from Washington to London, where Prime Minister Theresa May is plowing on with her Brexit plan despite high-level defections from her cabinet. Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Anna Edwards joins us now from Westminster with the latest.
Well, it looks as if the rebels do not quite have the number that they need to challenge Theresa May for the leadership of the Conservative Party. It looks as if then she does live to fight on another day at least. This is pretty unprecedented what we've seen over the last 24 hours. To lose 2 secretaries of state within a 24-hour period, you have to go back to the early 1980s to find a similar event taking place in UK politics. So she's reshuffled her cabinet. She meets with her new cabinet today, and it does look because if, for now, there are not sufficient numbers of rebels who want to try and oust her to try and do that, it doesn't mean that there aren't mutinous thoughts being planned within the party, and it certainly doesn't mean that Boris Johnson has given up on his ambitions to become Prime Minister. He may not go quietly to the back benches, but at the moment, she seems safe enough. In Westminster, I'm Anna Edwards, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Anna. The UK economy, meantime, is bouncing back from a near standstill in the first quarter. Gross domestic product increased 0.2% in the 3 months through May, led by services such as retailing and computer programming. This is the UK's first publication of rolling monthly GDP figures.
In Turkey, President Erdogan has named his son-in-law to oversee the country's economy, and that's causing concern for some investors. Bloomberg's Simen Demirkan reports from Istanbul.
Berat Albayrak, a former energy minister who entered parliament for the first time in 2015, will be in charge of a new ministry of treasury and finance, combining what used to be the two most powerful economic jobs. He'll replace Mehmet Şimşek, the last man standing from a group of politicians who've been trusted by investors over the years to rein in the president's go-for-growth instincts and keep Turkey's $880 billion economy on a sustainable path. In Istanbul, Simen Demirkan, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Simen. The Turkish lira slumped following the move. President Erdogan also issued a decree giving him power to name the head of the central bank along with its deputy governors. That appears to cement plans for the Turkish president to tighten his grip on monetary policy.
In China, factory inflation accelerated in June, rising 4.7% year-on-year. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has details from Hong Kong.
A faster pace than the 4.5% estimate in a Bloomberg survey. A lot of this is simply higher commodity prices. In any case, the quicker pace may help support corporate profits, which are expected to be up 16% on average in 2018. Bloomberg says the PPI rebound is unlikely to be sustained. That's due to uncertain global demand and slower credit expansion at home. On the CPI, well, it rose 1.9% in line with forecasts. In Hong Kong, I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Brian. Shares of Xiaomi are bouncing back in Hong Kong today. The Chinese smartphone maker's stock surged 13% this morning after a disappointing debut yesterday. It is now trading 11% above its IPO price. S&P futures up 3 points. This is Bloomberg. And that brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's get more now on the Supreme Court nominee from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Reaction to President Trump's Supreme Court nomination is falling along party lines. Republican House Speaker Paul Ryan praised the pick and said Federal Appeals Court Judge Brett Kavanaugh will bring extensive experience to the high court. Even before the pick, it was a hot-button issue on the Senate floor. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
One Democratic senator stated she would resist any attempt to confirm any nominee this year, quote, it doesn't matter who he's putting forward.
Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer said Kavanaugh would rule against women's reproductive rights. Protests were held outside the Supreme Court. Democratic Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey addressed the crowd, vowing a fierce confirmation fight.
This won't just be decided in the United States Senate. Everybody in around America must decide now. Do we want to go backward 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years?
Republicans have a narrow 51-49 majority in the Senate. Democratic senators running for re-election in red states face a tough choice on whether to approve Trump's Supreme Court nominee. President Trump leaves Washington later today for a week in Europe, starting with a NATO summit in Brussels. Bloomberg's Nathan Hager reports Trump is setting the stage for a tense encounter with U.S. allies.
The summit begins tomorrow, but already the president is tweeting about it, saying the U.S. pays for 90% of NATO while dealing with a $151 million trade deficit with the European Union. NATO says the U.S. share of defense spending is more like 72%, and an internal EU memo says if you factor in goods and services, the U.S. has a trade surplus. The tweets come a day after U.S. NATO Ambassador Kay Bailey Hutchison told Fox News Sunday member countries are making progress boosting their defense commitments. In Washington, I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Daybreak.
A Thai official overseeing the effort to rescue members of a teen soccer team trapped in a flooded cave says a third rescue operation has begun, and according to multiple reports, two more boys have been removed to safety today. The death toll has climbed to 155 after flooding and mudslides around Hiroshima, Japan. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries, I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 6:09 on Wall Street. That is time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Bob. Mixed results for both the Yankees and Mets as they not only played but split a doubleheader on Monday. First up, the Yankees at Camden Yards.
Swung on, and there it goes to deep right. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Let the Guardy party begin. Oh, he drilled a two-run home run. A no-doubt-about-it job.
Yankees radio, that came in the nightcap after the Yankees dropped a 5-4 decision. They rallied with an emphatic 10-2 win, rapping out 17 base hits. Luis Sessa earned his first win of the year. CC Sabathia took the loss in the matinee. New York slipped a half game thanks to Boston winning their seventh straight. They blanked Texas 5-0 at Fenway Park. Red Sox lead the AL East by 2.5 games. Tonight, Masahiro Tanaka gets the call opposite the O's Andrew Kashner. Mets won their twin bill opener in walk-off fashion 4-3, only to fall 3-1 in the nightcap. Mets manager Mickey Callaway.
You know, I think that we got to get some guys going, obviously. I think that splitting today, big hit by Flo, that was a good win in the first game. And then, you know, Nola kind of had control in the second game.
The series with the Phillies continues tonight from Citi Field. World Cup resumes play. It's the first of two semifinals at 2 p.m. France versus Belgium. On Wednesday, it's Croatia and England. And Wimbledon quarterfinals, a light day. American Serena Williams is in action at 10 a.m. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thank you, Rob Buschka. Britons have caught World Cup fever, and they're taking out their wallets. Excitement about England's performance in the soccer tournament has boosted consumer spending on televisions, beer, even barbecues. Barclay Card says spending is up 5.1% in the last year. S&P futures up 5 points. That is almost 0.2%. The 10-year yield, 2.8674%. The Sports Report brought to you by Investors Bank. Connect with the experts at Investors Bank with strong relationships and customized solutions. They work with your business every step of the way. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 617 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. President Trump has tapped Brett Kavanaugh for the Supreme Court. The move could create the most conservative high court in generations. Turkey's President Erdogan has taken control of the country's central bank. He's assumed the power to appoint the governors and deputies and to reduce the length of their terms. A gauge of US recession risk is raising a red flag. Luthold Group says premiums on the lowest rated investment grade corporate bonds have risen to 2% for the first time since just before the financial crisis. And Allen & Company's annual Sun Valley Conference kicks off in Idaho today. Executives from CBS, Comcast and Disney are all expected to attend the so-called Summer Camp for Billionaires, where tech and media leaders lay the seeds for deals. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, Hannah, thank you. S&P futures up 4.5 points this morning. Dow futures up 58. NASDAQ futures up 19. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. The 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.86%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 38 cents to $74.23 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.5% down $6 to $12.53.60 an ounce. The euro $1.1725, the yen 111.24. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, according to multiple reports, two more boys have been rescued today from a flooded Thai cave. That leaves two boys and their soccer team coach remaining in the cave. Paul Manafort doesn't want jurors at his trial to hear any mention of his role as campaign chairman for Donald Trump or of alleged collusion between the campaign and Russia. Manafort, who, among other things, is accused of money laundering and obstruction of justice, claims he would be unfairly prejudiced if jurors at his September trial hear of possible ties between Russia and the Trump campaign. In baseball, the Yankees split a doubleheader with the Orioles. The Mets split a doubleheader with the Phillies. The Red Sox, A's, and Giants won. The Nationals lost. In the World Cup, France takes on Belgium today. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you very much. It is now 6:20 on Wall Street, and we can tell you this. President Trump's Supreme Court nominee, Appeals Court Judge Brett Kavanaugh, is a Washington insider and a regulation skeptic. Bloomberg Supreme Court reporter Greg Storr can give us a lot more background. Greg, good morning and welcome. So are we indeed looking at a drastic shift to the right for the high court?
Yeah, and that would have been the case, no matter who whom President Trump nominated for the seat. Justice Kennedy, who's retiring, was the pivotal vote on some of the biggest issues in the country. We're talking about abortion. We're talking about racial discrimination and affirmative action. We're talking about government regulation, some death penalty issues. On each of those, it's fair to think that Judge, potentially Justice Kavanaugh, would be further to the right than Justice Kennedy and would shift the court.
And Kavanaugh has questioned abortion rights. He has backed gun freedoms.
Yes. In the gun case, he said he would have struck down a Washington, D.C. law that banned semi-automatic assault weapons. On abortion, the case is a little bit more complicated, but it was a case involving an undocumented immigrant teenage girl who was in federal custody in the federal government. The Trump administration said, we don't want to take any steps that would facilitate her getting an abortion. Judge Kavanaugh, in an opinion, said he would have given the government more time to find a way to not have to be involved in that process. He would have delayed her getting the abortion for another week, and he was in dissent there, so the girl was able to go ahead and have the procedure.
Another data point, he's a Washington native who was a top deputy to independent counsel Kenneth Starr on the investigation of President Bill Clinton. We know it's going to be a long shot if Democrats have any hope of blocking this nominee. What's their strategy?
Yeah, it's going to be very, very difficult. They've been talking about a lot about abortion, and that's an issue that they had hoped might sway a couple of the more moderate senators, including Susan Collins of Maine. They had been talking about the Affordable Care Act, even though Judge Kavanaugh wouldn't swing the court on that issue because he still had five votes to uphold the Affordable Care Act. They are going to throw everything they have at this nominee, and he does have a very long paper trail, and there are no doubt many things we don't yet know about him, and there could potentially be some explosive issues within all the documents that will come out over the next few months. Democrats are going to try everything they have. Unfortunately for them, they don't have the votes, at least not within their party.
I see Kavanaugh being described as a champion of constitutional safeguards. What does that mean?
Well, he is, much like some of the other conservatives on the court, much like the late Justice Scalia, a strong proponent of separation of powers. And he said last night that he sees separation of powers as the safeguard of liberty. By that he means he tries to keep the governmental branches in their own spheres. He doesn't let the courts overstep. He doesn't let the Congress overstep. He doesn't let the administrative branches overstep. And he has been involved in a ruling, for example, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. He said he wrote an opinion that would have given the president more power to fire the director of that. In his view, that was enhancing accountability and squaring with the Constitution.
I asked you what the Democratic strategy was. What's the Republican strategy?
Well, the Republican strategy is multifaceted. They portrayed him last night and will continue to do so as a family man who volunteers in his community, who coaches his daughter's basketball team, as a very, very bright legal mind, and that is certainly the case. He is Yale-educated, a former Supreme Court law clerk, certainly widely respected for his intellect. And they are going to say some of those things about protecting liberty and applying the Constitution, enforcing the Constitution and federal statutes as it's written, as they are written. A judge who, as they say, doesn't write the law. He just enforces the law.
Bloomberg Supreme Court reporter Greg Storr, thank you very much. And we will, of course, be following this story for some time to come. S&P futures currently up 5 points. That is 0.2%. Dow futures higher by 62 points. NASDAQ futures up by 20 points. 10-year Treasury prices down 2/32. The yield at 2.8656%. West Texas Intermediate crude is up 0.5% at $74.27 a barrel. Brent crude up 1.25% at $79.08. 24/7 news from Bloomberg's 2,700 journalists and analysts across 120 countries streaming live on Twitter. It's at TikTok, TICTOC.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1061, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning to you. It is 6:30 on Wall Street. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. President Trump has nominated Federal Appeals Court Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. We will have full coverage and reaction to the nomination in just a few minutes.
In other news we're following, U.K. Prime Minister Theresa May looks likely to survive any attempt to oust her government. Her leadership had come into question following the resignation of two senior cabinet members. Bloomberg's Thomas Penny reports from London.
May is helped by the parliamentary arithmetic, which means hardline Brexiteers in her Conservative Party would have trouble mustering enough support to successfully challenge her leadership. But while her job as Prime Minister appears safe, her foes probably have enough votes to block her Brexit strategy when it comes to Parliament later this year. The crisis certainly isn't over. In London, Thomas Penny, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thomas, thank you. The UK economy is bouncing back from a near standstill in the first quarter. Gross domestic product increased 0.2% in the 3 months through May.
The Turkish lira is rebounding against the dollar after Monday's biggest slide since the 2016 coup attempt. The move comes as some investors judge the declines as excessive.
China's yuan is trading in a 7-week low as trade war fears are waning. Haven assets are also losing ground with a weaker yen and lower gold prices.
Shares of Pepsi down 0.5% in early trading. The company posted second quarter profit that topped estimates thanks to strong sales of Frito-Lay chips and Quaker cereals.
And business moguls gather in Idaho's Sun Valley Resort today for the annual Allen & Company conference. Warren Buffett, Comcast chairman Brian Roberts, and Walmart CEO Doug McMillon are among those expected to attend.
And it is now 6:32 on Wall Street. Time for your volatility index report. The VIX fell yesterday to close at 1269. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is currently down another 2% at 1244. That's this morning's volatility report.
S&P futures are higher, up 4.5 points. Dow futures up 54. NASDAQ futures up 19. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. CAC in Paris up 0.5%. The FTSE 100 up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32. Yield 2.86%. The yield on the 2-year 2.56%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 38 cents to $74.23 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.4%, down $5.70 to $12.53.90 an ounce. The euro, $1.1719, the yen, 111.27. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 6:33 on Wall Street, and this news update is brought to you by National Realty, developers of Prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach Real Estate. Up to 20% return properties. See them at nria.net. Just who is the president's high court choice? Some background now. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. President Trump nominated Judge Brett Kavanaugh to replace retiring Justice Anthony Kennedy on the Supreme Court.
He's a brilliant jurist with a clear and effective writing style, universally regarded as one of the finest and sharpest legal minds of our time.
Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has more on Kavanaugh.
Kavanaugh is a judge on the U.S. Court of Appeal for the District of Columbia Circuit with a history in politics. He was George W. Bush nominee, former Bush staff secretary, working with President Bush on the 2000 Florida vote recount. He says he will tell senators he believes in the Constitution.
I believe that an independent judiciary is the crown jewel of our constitutional republic. If confirmed by the Senate, I will keep an open mind in every case.
Republicans want the confirmation process complete before the November elections. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Meanwhile, protests were held outside the Supreme Court last night over Kavanaugh's nomination. Democratic Senator Kirsten Gillibrand of New York vowed a fierce confirmation fight over Roe v. Wade.
President Trump did exactly what he said he was going to do. He has appointed someone who will not protect a woman's right to make decisions about her life, her health care, her reproductive freedom.
It was already a hot-button issue on the Senate floor even before Trump named his nominee, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
He has promised in his own words to nominate only pro-life judges whose selection will result in the automatic overturning of Roe v. Wade. Those are his words.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
Americans see beyond this far-left mongering, this kind of fear-mongering they've tried over and over again for 40 years.
Republican House Speaker Paul Ryan praised the pick and said Kavanaugh will bring extensive experience to the high court. President Trump arrives today in Brussels for a NATO summit. He's calling for some countries to spend more on their military budgets. There's late word about the third rescue attempt at a Thai cave today. According to multiple reports, an 11th boy has been taken to safety. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Great news. 6:35 on Wall Street. That is time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. We begin in baseball, where both local clubs split doubleheaders on Monday. The Yankees fell 5-4 at Camden Yards to the Orioles, courtesy of Danny Valencia's three-run blast, snapping an 0-for-25 streak. Yet New York roared back in the nightcap 10-2. Brett Gardner went deep on the heels of his game winner in Toronto. That caught the eye of skipper Aaron Boone.
And he's seeing it real well right now, and I think he is... When he's gotten to some good counts, been a little more aggressive about, thinking in terms of damage. He's always grinding out bats, at bats. He's always going to see pitches, but I think he's done a good job here of late when he's gotten those good counts of hunting and looking to do some damage.
Gardner finished 4-for-6 with 3 RBI in the nightcap. Boone also added catcher Gary Sanchez is on track to rejoin the club at the All-Star break. He's been out with a groin injury. Yankees lost a half game on the Red Sox, who won their 7th straight, shutting out the Rangers 5-0 at Fenway Park. Series continues tonight from Baltimore with Andrew Kashner hosting Masahiro Tanaka. Mets with a walk-off win in the matinee.
Swing high drive, left field, walk it off, Wilmer! It's there, it is gone, it is over. It clipped the corner of the foul pole down the left field line, and the walk-off man does it one more time. Amazing.
Mets radio 8th home run of the year for Flores as Drubal Cabrera launched his 16th. Mets beat the Phillies 4-3, only to fall 3-1 in the second game. World Cup, France meets Belgium at 2 p.m. for a spot in the finals. In tennis, Wimbledon, Serena Williams will be on center court at 10 a.m. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thanks, Rob Bushka. We mentioned earlier that earnings topped estimates at PepsiCo, which is grappling with a slumping soda business. It got another boost from its food operations. And updating you on PepsiCo shares now, they're up more than 1.5% pre-market. It is now coming up on 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
Ordinarily, when NATO's leaders get together, they push for all the good things they want the alliance to do. This week in Brussels, they'll be worrying about the United States. Is the Trump administration about to end military exercises in Eastern Europe, cut funding for the U.S. European Command, or even pull American troops out of Germany? Imagine that the U.S. had a president who wasn't hostile to America's friends and dismissive of the world order. Then what might the summit accomplish? It would reassure Europe's eastern flank that aggression by Moscow will be treated as an affront to the entire alliance. It would announce new investment in cyber defense. And it would acknowledge that Trump does have a point on burden sharing. Perhaps Trump will move some of this agenda forward. Right now, though, success in the summit might mean no more than maintaining the alliance in some kind of working order. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg View editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. Hedge funds, on average, posted a gain of just 1.2% in the first half of 2018 as global trade jitters and volatility hampered returns. We get details from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
According to a report from Hedge Fund Research, for June, hedge funds rose 0.14% on an asset-weighted basis, the third month of declines this year. By contrast, the S&P 500 index rose about 1.7% in the first half. HFR said event-driven strategies were the top performer on an asset-weighted basis, returning about 3% in the period. That was offset by declines in equity hedge funds. The performance demonstrates that 2018 is shaping up to be a lackluster year for the industry. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Charlie. And it is now 6:39 on Wall Street time for your Bloomberg Green Business Report. Use a plastic straw these days, and you could find yourself on the receiving end of some questions. Earlier this month, Seattle became one of the largest cities yet to ban plastic straws. And a few weeks before that, the world's biggest restaurant chain, McDonald's, made it known it'll start phasing out plastic in favor of paper straws, starting in the UK and Ireland. Now, add another big name to the list that everybody has started calling the last straw. Starbucks plans to eliminate single-use plastic straws from its more than 28,000 coffee houses globally within the next 2 years, removing more than a billion plastic straws from its locations per year. Those straws have come under fire for harming marine life. The team of Australian scientists estimates up to 8.3 billion plastic straws are scattered across global coastlines. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. And coming up, the Bloomberg Morning Call, brought to you by Columbia Bank. With 48 locations across New Jersey, you're never far from Columbia's wide range of banking solutions, from personal to business banking to mobile and online. You can always count on Columbia. Visit ColumbiaBankOnline.com.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures moving higher this morning. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. Like you said, U.S. futures are climbing right now, with Dow futures up 60 points. S&P's gained 5.5. Well, NASDAQ futures rise by 21. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.86%, and Japan rose 0.7% overnight. Well, European markets are trading mostly higher, led by gains in France and Italy. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 10 o'clock, the JOLTS job openings. And regarding earnings this morning, Pepsi beat estimates. Shares are higher by 1.6%. in the pre-market. In other news, Goldman Sachs was negative on the cruise liners, slashing estimates on fuel and FX headwinds. And wrapping things up, Biogen was downgraded to neutral over at Robert Baird. Chipotle downgraded to underperform at Mizuho. Wynn Resorts was upgraded to buy at Stifel. And eBay downgraded to hold over at SunTrust. Live from the First Break News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thank you, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, conservative Judge Brett Kavanaugh is President Donald Trump's pick for the Supreme Court. Trump said Kavanaugh is universally regarded as one of the finest and sharpest legal minds of our time. According to multiple reports, an 11th boy has been rescued today from a flooded Thai cave. Japan's top government spokesman says at least 155 people have been confirmed dead from the recent heavy rains, floods, and mudslides in western Japan. In baseball, the Yankees split a doubleheader with the Orioles. The Mets split a doubleheader with the Phillies. The Red Sox, A's, and Giants won. The Nationals lost. In the World Cup, France takes on Belgium today. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, if you like that we're all in this together tight feeling on U.S. Airlines, this Sardines update is for you, because they're making lavatories even smaller to squeeze in more seats. American, for example, may generate an extra $400,000 a year for each seat it adds. One passenger who took his little boy to the loo says it was like a yoga exercise. Bob, he says the sink is so tiny that we did a sort of four-handed ballet to wash each other of our hands and in turn just splash water all over the place.
I'm surprised the two of them could even fit in there.
Well, yeah, because the lavatories were very spacious then.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
What are you going to do? You got to laugh or you'll cry. It is now 6:49 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Trump nominating Federal Appeals Court Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. Later today, he heads to Brussels to meet with NATO allies. Meantime, on Capitol Hill, the House holds a joint hearing on the oversight of actions from the FBI and DOJ in the lead-up to the 2016 election. But let's get more now on that Supreme Court pick from Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Kathleen, here's what President Trump had to say about Mr. Kavanaugh last night.
I do not ask about a nominee's personal opinions. What matters is not a judge's political views, but whether they can set aside those views to do what the law and the Constitution require.
Now, the president has said in the past that he planned to nominate someone who would overturn abortion rights. So what do we know about the legal views of Brett Kavanaugh?
Well, Judge Kavanaugh hasn't ruled directly on the abortion issue, but I think all indications are that he would be the type of conservative judge that could potentially seek to overturn Roe v. Wade. His opinions on a range of issues from the environment to financial services to, you know, technology issues have all been quite conservative. And I think there's a sense that he, you know, may be even as conservative as Neil Gorsuch, who was Trump's first nominee to the court. And I think more significantly, because of who he's replacing in this case, Justice Kennedy, who was often a swing vote, who in some key cases sided with liberals, he would actually have a much bigger shift in the overall makeup and the center of gravity of the justices by moving the whole court potentially much further to the right.
And some of the other issues that are questionable at this point are gay rights, affirmative action, the death penalty, gun restrictions. We do know, however, how Brett Kavanaugh feels about regulation, don't we?
That's right. He's been a real regulation skeptic during his time as an appeals court judge in Washington. He voted in favor of, you know, rolling back a number of Obama era pro-environment regulations. He ruled in favor of limiting the powers of the head of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which is an agency that Republicans have historically been very critical of, but was created by the 2010 Dodd-Frank law. He's also had some, rulings that would be in line with the Trump administration's views on issues like net neutrality. So he's someone that certainly, on a range of issues like that, would bring the court further to the right.
Now, Democrats have said they'll try to block the president's nominee. Several senators joined demonstrators at the Supreme Court last night to voice their displeasure with the president's election. Here's a sampling here. Senators Richard Blumenthal, Kirsten Gillibrand, Jeff Merkley, and Bernie Sanders.
He has shown that he would overturn Roe v. Wade, which is unacceptable to me.
What is at stake is women's freedom, our freedom to make our own decisions.
This is a nominee who wants to pave the path to tyranny. This is a tough fight, but it is a fight that we can win.
So, Kathleen, what is their sort of strategy for blocking the president's nominee?
Well, Democrats on their own don't have the numbers to do that. They only have 49 seats in the Senate. The Republicans have a very slim majority. And so they would need the help of at least one Republican to defect from the majority and back them if they were to block the nominee. So I think that's certainly something. I would be very surprised if Chuck Schumer hasn't already started to have some of those conversations, the minority leader. There are some ripe targets in the Republican conference, namely a number of women Republican senators like Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski, who've expressed some concern with a nominee that would be willing to overturn Roe v. Wade. So I think that is certainly part of their strategy. I think the second piece of it is an election year strategy, which is based around framing the debate in a way that fires up their base. And I think that's what you were already hearing from, some of the senators that we just heard from in the clip that you played.
And the Republicans plan to proceed with all deliberate speed?
That's right. Senator Mitch McConnell, the majority leader, has said that he would really like to get a nominee in place by the time the court's next term opens on October 1st. And so that gives them, with the August recess coming up, you know, about 2 months of legislative working time to get that done.
Now, I thought there that you needed a two-thirds majority for this kind of approval. Not so now.
So it used to be the case that you needed 60 votes for any nominee to get confirmed in the Senate. The Democrats, when they had the majority a few years back, actually changed that in the face of what they called very unreasonably frequent Republican filibusters of Obama nominees. And they changed that and lowered the standard for everyone but Supreme Court picks to 51 or a simple majority. That has now been changed by the Republicans when they took control, which is what Republicans always warned was, you know, one day we'll be in the majority, the shoe will be on the other foot. And now that's the case. And Republicans have lowered it for Supreme Court nominees as well. So it just takes a simple majority.
And do we know at any point when the confirmation hearings might get underway? Any idea at all?
Well, Kavanaugh said that he would start as soon as today, going up to Capitol Hill and meeting with senators. So usually the way these things go is that there's a number of meetings, mostly with members of the leadership and members of the Judiciary Committee. And then once, you know, the senators had a chance to go around and do some of the meet and greet, then they schedule a hearing. But that also is going to require some time on both sides for both the majority and the minority to get, you know, research together and their questions and that sort of thing. So I wouldn't expect that for a couple weeks.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thank you very much. And you can, of course, read more about this story on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Karen.
Well, it's turning 6:56 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report, and here's John Tucker.
The business of cultivating and selling marijuana in states where it's legal is still the domain of small companies. Bloomberg reporter Jennifer Kaplan says that in part is because getting a loan for a business that's illegal under federal law is more than just a little tough.
So marijuana businesses typically still aren't able to get funding from financial institutions. They face a lot of logistical barriers. They have tax issues. They have all sorts of different problems that really are keeping the big companies away from the industry.
Now enter a private equity fund. MedMen Opportunity Fund 2 is planning to raise $250 million to invest in marijuana businesses. It would mark one of the biggest investments yet in the nascent marijuana sector. The $6 billion legal cannabis market is expected to reach $50 billion by 2026, according to Cowan & Company. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
All right, John Tucker, thank you. And we continue to watch shares of PepsiCo in the early trade, up 1.6% right now. It is grappling with a slumping soda business, but it got a boost from its food operations. The maker of Mountain Dew posting second quarter profit that topped analyst estimates, helped by strong sales of Frito-Lay chips and Quaker cereals. Futures, meanwhile, are higher. S&P futures up 4 points this morning. Dow futures up 45. NASDAQ futures up almost 17. The DAX in Germany is up 0.25%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.86%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.56%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 0.5% at $74.24 a barrel. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Pim Fox coming up on Bloomberg Radio. For our listeners in Washington, D.C., Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.